Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025, coming to you from my home studio on this very cold, wintry day. And that's the lead story on the front page, weather. It's beginning to look like winter. Frigid temperatures to follow snow showers early this week. It's really more of a photo montage here. As you can imagine, some snow scenes. Vehicles and roadways are covered in snow as a plow works to clear a path on West Prairie Avenue in Decatur on Saturday, November 29th. While more snow, up to 4 inches, was expected late Monday and early Tuesday, it's bringing with it a new visitor, cold temperatures. According to the National Weather Service in Lincoln, the coldest day will be Thursday, with a high of only 15 degrees and the warmest on Wednesday at 33 degrees. Single-digit lows are predicted for Wednesday and Thursday nights, with lows on Wednesday of 6 and Thursday near zero. Pedestrian walks in the snow during the winter storm on North Edward Street, indicator on Saturday, November 29th. Photo credit to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. Business experts be wary of Travel Tuesday deals. Cora Lewis, Associated Press New York, has this article. Chain stores have Black Friday. Online marketplaces have Cyber Monday. For local businesses, it's Small Business Saturday. In the past 20 years, more segments of the retail industry vied for their own piece of the holiday shopping season. The travel trade firmly joined the trend with its own post-Thanksgiving sales push, Travel Tuesday. On the same day as the nonprofit world's Giving Tuesday, airlines, hotels, cruise ships, companies, travel booking platforms, and tour operators get in on the annual spirit to spend by promoting one-day deals. Consumer advocates say there are legitimate savings to be had, but also chances to be misled by marketing that conveys a false sense of urgency. People see 40% off and assume it's a once-in-a-lifetime steal without recognizing that the underlying price may have been inflated or that the same itinerary was cheaper last month, said Sally French, a travel expert at personal finance site NerdWallet. She and other seasoned travelers advised consumers to do research in advance and to pay especially close attention to the fine print attached to Travel Tuesday offers. People hoping to score last-minute deals for Christmas or New Year's should double-check for blackout dates or other restrictions, recommended Lindsay Schwimmer, a consumer expert for the online travel site Hopper. It's also wise to keep an eye out for non-refundable fares, resort fees, double occupancy requirements, or upgrade conditions that may be hidden within advertised discounts, French said. Shoppers should be wary of travel packages with extra transportation options or add-on offers. Instead of lowering fares or room rates, some companies use statement credits, extra points, including amenities, and bundled extras as a way to tempt potential customers, she noted. Many travel brands want to keep sticker prices high to maintain an aura of luxury, but they still need to fill planes, ships, and hotel rooms, French said. Add-on perks are their workaround. Consumers who are prepared, rather than impulsive, and on the lookout for the upsell are in a much better position to identify authentic bargains, consumer experts stressed. Knowing what a specific trip would typically cost and comparison shopping can help expose offers based on inflated underlying costs and whether the same itinerary may be cheaper at other times, they said. Compare prices, check your calendar, and make sure the trip you're booking is something you generally want, not something you bought because a countdown timer pressured you, French said. What gets glossed over is that the best deal might be not booking anything at all if it doesn't align with your plans. Travel Tuesday came about based on industry trends. In 2017, Hopper analyzed historical pricing data and found that in each of the 9 previous years, the biggest day for post-Thanksgiving travel discounts was the day after Cyber Monday. The site named the day Travel Tuesday. Since then, the number of Travel Tuesday offers and the number of travelers looking for them expanded. Nearly three times as many trips were planned on Travel Tuesday last year compared to Black Friday, Schwimmer said. We continue to see growth in the day year over year as more travel brands and categories offer deals. The event's origin story is in line with the National Retail Federation coining Cyber Monday in 2005 as a response to the emerging e-commerce era. American Express came up with Small Business Saturday in 2010 to direct buyers and their dollars to smaller retailers, credit card fees, and all. Moving on to the local page, A3, Decatur man shot in the arm. This article is by Tony Reed, Decatur. Police say a man driving down a Decatur street just before noon Sunday was shot in the arm after being caught in a fusillade of bullets. Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer with the Decatur Police Department said patrol officers were called to the 1200 block of East Division Street, where they found the 19-year-old victim who was later treated in the hospital. In the street, officers discovered 13 spent .40-caliber shell casings, Hagemeyer said. The sergeant said the victim's story about how he got shot appeared to check out. He said it was not clear who the intended victim was in the shooting. Investigations were continuing, and as of Monday morning, there had been no arrests made. Detectives are appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Call them at 217-424-2734 or pass on information at Crime Stoppers, 217-423-8477. Controlled by bus drug dealer, police report. Tony Reed, Decatur. An accused drug dealer is jailed after police report that the willing buyer to whom he sold almost 1 pound of methamphetamine was also a police informant. A sworn affidavit said that after the drug deal was done on the afternoon of November 25th at an apartment in the 1700 block of East Woodford Place, the 46-year-old male Decatur suspect was arrested as he drove away. The affidavit, filed by Detective Nicholas Arrett with the Decatur Police Department, doesn't list the suspect as saying anything or trying to deny being a meth dealer after his arrest. This controlled purchase of methamphetamine was audio and video recorded pursuant to a court-authorized overhear warrant, Everett wrote in the affidavit. Upon reviewing the footage, Detective Arrett could positively identify the suspect as being the individual responsible for providing the informant with methamphetamine. Decatur shooting ID, Decatur shooting victim ID, Scott Perry, Decatur. Authorities have released the name of the teenage victim of a fatal shooting in Decatur. Macon County Coroner Michael Burkham identified the victim as Kaderion Stanley, 19, of Decatur. Decatur police previously stated in a news release that officers responded at approximately 5:42 p.m. November 26th to a report of shots fired with a gunshot victim at a business in the 500 block of North Water Street. Upon arrival, officers located Stanley with at least one apparent gunshot wound. He was transported by ambulance to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased, the release said, and the investigation is ongoing. Schools seek aid for rising bus costs. Bridget Fox, Jacksonville Journal-Courier, Jacksonville. Amid rising school bus costs, school boards in Illinois are discussing a push for ways that they hope would help pay for an increase they expect 5 years from now. In August, the state adopted a law that will require all school buses bought after July 1, 2031, to have three-point seatbelts. It's not uncommon for school buses to have seatbelts that can go over the rider's laps, but three-point seatbelts are the kind that are usually found in people's cars. They go over a person's chest and lap, forming a triangle. The legislation does not require districts to make any policies about students wearing seatbelts. The Illinois Association of School Boards is proposing an initiative to support districts who are expecting an increased cost in school buses. Jacksonville School Board officials said they are seeing school bus costs go up with a new bus priced around $175,000 and used ones around $109,000. Buses cost a lot of money. We're just seeing the prices go up, said Rick Cunningham, Jacksonville School District's chief financial officer. The Illinois Association of School Boards is holding its annual delegate assembly this weekend, and Jacksonville School District said it plans on supporting its action to push state legislators to help cover the costs of expected cost increases. House proponents of the bill said it aligns with the direction some school bus companies are already moving, which is true. Bluebird Corp., one of the biggest school bus manufacturers in the U.S., said it considers three-point seatbelts the next evolution in school bus safety. The Illinois Association of School Boards request would involve asking legislators to establish a grant for the cost of purchasing school buses with three-point seatbelts. There's no reason why we shouldn't want to have the association push for this, Jacksonville School Board Chair Noel Baird said. The proposal also includes a provision to extend a compliance deadline for school districts with fewer than 2,000 students to July 1, 2034, so they can continue purchasing new school buses without seatbelts until then. Other requests also include the ability to use transportation fund bond proceeds or revolving lease agreements, as well as having the Illinois Department of Transportation research ways to alternative research-based occupant protection technologies that may offer equal or greater safety at lower cost, giving districts flexibility to comply. Without fiscal relief or additional time, smaller districts will be forced to divert limited education dollars away from classrooms or delay essential fleet turnover, undermining student safety goals, according to the Sycamore School District, which proposed the plan. And in brief here, Christmas Walk tree lighting set for December 3rd, Decatur. The annual downtown Decatur Christmas Walk will be 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, December 3rd. Visitors can stop by the Decatur Area Arts Council for cookies and hot cocoa plus craft activities. Downtown shops and restaurants will be open to welcome visitors, and Santa will be available in the transfer house in Central Park. Holiday treats will be available at several locations, along with musical entertainment, and visitors can take free trolley rides. The Decatur Civic Center's annual Christmas tree lighting event will be 6 to 8 p.m., with the actual lighting at 6:15 p.m., free ice skating 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., hot chocolate, live reindeer, and holiday music. Giving Tuesday is an annual day of charity. Associated Press. Since it started as a hashtag in 2012, Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, has become one of the biggest fundraising days of the year for nonprofits in the U.S. This year, nonprofits face uncertainty about how donors may respond to a range of changing factors. High prices could affect how much small-dollar donors give this year or how many charities they will support. But President Donald Trump's tax and spending legislation, which passed in July, also included a new charitable deduction of up to $1,000 for individuals and $2,000 for married couples for the majority of tax filers. That could incentivize households to give. For larger donors, a strong stock market usually indicates they will give generously. These major donors also make up an increasingly important share of overall charitable donations and are more likely to give than less economically well-off households, according to a study from the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy in partnership with Bank of America. Nonprofits also let potential supporters know about a range of new challenges this year, with many human service organizations seeing higher demand while facing cuts to government grants, especially last month's freeze of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits. Many charities highlighted programs that will match or multiply donations, even up to a factor of five at some nonprofits, to showcase increased effect. Altogether, that sets up Giving Tuesday, which falls on Tuesday, to be a high-stakes fundraising day for U.S. nonprofits. How did it start? The hashtag Giving Tuesday started as a project of the 92nd Street Y in New York in 2012 and became an independent organization in 2020. It's grown into a worldwide network of local organizations that promote giving in their communities, often on different dates that have local relevance, like holidays. Today, Giving Tuesday, the nonprofit, also convenes researchers working on topics about everyday giving. It also collects data from a wide range of sources like payment processors, crowdfunding sites, and employee giving software and institutions that offer donor-advised funds, a kind of charitable giving account. What is the purpose? The hashtag was started to promote generosity, and the nonprofit continues to promote giving in the broadest sense. For nonprofits, the point of Giving Tuesday is to raise money and engage their supporters. Many will be familiar with the barrage of email and mail appeals that coincide on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Essentially, all major American nonprofits will organize fundraising campaigns, and many smaller local groups also participate. Nonprofits don't have to be affiliated in any way with Giving Tuesday, the organization, to run a fundraising campaign. They can just do it, though Giving Tuesday does provide graphics and advice. In that way, it remains a grassroots effort, with groups and donors participating however they like. On to the nation and world on A6, and Oxford's word of the year is Ragebait, Associated Press, London. Oxford University Press has named Ragebait as its word of the year, capturing the internet zeitgeist of 2025. The phrase refers to online content that is deliberately designed to elicit anger or outrage by being frustrating, provocative, or offensive, with the aim of driving traffic to a particular social media account, Oxford said in a statement. The person producing it will bask in the millions, quite often, of comments and shares and even likes sometimes, lexicographer Susie Dent told the BBC. This is a result of the algorithms used by social media companies because, although we love fluffy cats, we appreciate that we tend to engage more with negative content and content that really provokes us. Ragebait topped two other contenders, Aura Farming and Biohack, after public comment on a shortlist compiled by lexicographers at Oxford University Press. Aura farming means to cultivate a public image by presenting oneself in a way intended subtly to convey an air of confidence, coolness, or mystique. Biohack is defined as an attempt to improve or optimize one's physical or mental performance, health, or longevity. The word of the year is selected by lexicographers at Oxford University Press who analyze new and emerging words, as well as changes in the way language is being used, to identify words of cultural significance. Oxford University Press, publisher of the Oxford English Dictionary, has selected a word of the year annually since 2004. Past winners include podcast in 2005, emoji in 2015, and in 2022, goblin mode, which described people who resisted returning to normal life after the COVID-19 pandemic. On to the nation on A8, Cyber Monday could break records, by Wyatt Grantham Phillips, Associated Press, New York. Deals promoted as some of the best of the holiday season were expected to keep people across the United States glued to their computers and smartphones as the post-Thanksgiving shopping marathon wrapped up on Cyber Monday. It's no secret that buying things online is now a staple of many people's everyday routines. Year after year, those purchases mount during the gift-giving holiday rush. Experts expect consumers to drive record Cyber Monday spending this year despite wider economic uncertainty. Adobe Analytics estimates that U.S. shoppers will spend $14.2 billion online Monday, or 6.3% more than in 2024. Spending is expected to peak between the hours of 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. local time, when Adobe expects $16 million to pass through online shopping carts every minute nationwide. U.S. consumers already spent $11.8 billion online for Black Friday, $6.4 billion on Thanksgiving Day, and another $11.8 billion over the weekend, exceeding Adobe's forecasts. Purchases made across Cyber Week, the five major shopping days between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday, provides a stronger indication of how much shoppers are willing to spend for the holidays. Cyber Monday is off to a strong start, said Vivek Pandeya, lead analyst at Adobe Digital Insights. Discounts are set to remain elevated through Cyber Monday, which we expect will remain the biggest online shopping day of the season and year. Deals on electronics and apparel are expected to peak Monday at 30% and 26% off average listed prices per Adobe's latest estimates. But other categories will still continue to see deep discounts, including toys, which Adobe expects to reach 27% off listed prices. Meanwhile, software company Salesforce, which tracks digital spending from a range of retailers, including grocers, estimates Cyber Monday's online sales will total $13.4 billion in the U.S. and $53.7 billion globally. While the amount of money going into online shopping carts was expected to reach new heights Monday, rising retail prices also could contribute to any record sales figures that materialize. Consumers may be buying fewer total items, experts say. Tighter budgets are causing many to shop with more precision than in past years, such as focusing on a few big-ticket purchases, for example, and spreading out what they buy over days of promotions in hopes of getting the most bang for their buck. Businesses and households watch anxiously for financial effects from U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs on foreign imports. Workers in both the public and private sectors also struggle with anxieties over job security amid both corporate layoffs and the after effects of the 43-day government shutdown. For the November to December holiday season overall, the National Retail Federation estimates U.S. shoppers will spend more than $1 trillion for the first time this year. But the rate of growth is slowing, with an anticipated increase of 3.7% to 4.2% year over year, compared with 4.3% during the last year's holiday season. At the same time, credit card debt and delinquencies on other short-term loans have been rising. More and more shoppers are turning to buy now, pay later plans, which allow them to delay payments on holiday decor, gifts, and other items. Buy now, pay later loans are expected to drive $20.2 billion in online spending this holiday season, according to Adobe, up 11% from last year. The firm predicted that buy now, pay later loans would pass a new $1 billion milestone on Cyber Monday, the vast majority involving purchases made on mobile devices. Overall, mobile devices are the dominant shopping platform consumers are turning to for the holidays. Adobe expects smartphones, wearable tech, and other handheld electronics to account for 58% of online spending this season. 5 years ago, a majority of online purchases were made on desktops. Shopping services provided by artificial intelligence are also expected to play a role in what consumers choose to buy. For Black Friday, Salesforce estimated AI assistants and digital agents contributed to $14.2 billion of the total $79 billion it said was spent online worldwide. Across the holiday season, hot sellers will include gaming consoles such as the Nintendo Switch 2 and toys-turned-fashion statements like Labubu dolls, Adobe said. The analytics company anticipated the newest edition of popular consumer electronics, including the iPhone 17, Google Pixel 10, and Samsung Galaxy S25, will also see high demand. To many, Cyber Monday is billed as the last call to take advantage of the deepest discounts in the days following Thanksgiving, but its research has grown over the years. Cyber Monday is two decades old now, dating back to when the National Retail Federation first coined the term in 2005. Today, sales continue to bubble up through the week, riding on the hype that the industry has built to fuel consumer spending. And there's a small color photo here. Shoppers browse for Black Friday deals Friday at Atlantic Station Outdoor Mall in Atlanta, Georgia. Megan Varner, Associated Press, photo credit. Interesting article on B8, the weather page. Severe weather out of the storm. Hurricane season is a wrap. Here's a look at what kept them away from the U.S. Alex Harris, Miami Herald. For the first time in a decade, every single U.S. state escaped the entire hurricane season without a direct hit from a hurricane. Meteorologists say we owe this good fortune to an unusual weather pattern that steered nearly every storm away, a rare phenomenon of two hurricanes merging, and some dumb luck, at least for the United States. Every year is a lovely year not to be hit by a hurricane. We deserved a break, said Jeff Berardelli, chief meteorologist and climate specialist at WFLA Tampa Bay. Hurricane season officially ended November 30th, and though forecasters originally called for an above-average season, it ended up closer to an average season, and none of the five hurricanes that formed in the past few months touched U.S. soil. Of the 13 total named storms this season, one of them did brush the coast of South Carolina with heavy rains in July. Tropical Storm Chantel, the effects were relatively minor. The Caribbean unfortunately underlined the rule about hurricanes. All it takes is one. Hurricane Melissa roared into the region late October as one of the most formidable storms on record. About 100 people died, and about half in Jamaica and half in Haiti, which was deluged with record-setting rain and floods. Scientists are still analyzing the storm, but initial data suggest it was tied with the Labor Day hurricane of 1935 for strongest land-falling storm in the Atlantic. Melissa also was one of three Category 5 hurricanes this season. Only 2005 had more Category 5 storms in one season with four. Steering storms away from the U.S., despite the intense and, at times, record-setting hurricanes whirling around the Atlantic basin, they mostly kept to a similar pattern, curving away from the U.S. coast and toward the island nation of Bermuda. It was, as Berardelli put it, Bermuda year. Only one hurricane, Imelda, actually crossed the island, but several came close. That's thanks to a big push of low-pressure air over the continental U.S. that remained in place for most of the season, said Brian McNulty, a senior research associate at the University of Miami's Rosenstiel School of Marine, Atmospheric, and Earth Science. This feature, also known as a trough, pretty much sat over the U.S. from August through October, the peak of the season. That induced anomalous counterclockwise steering winds around it, which helped to direct approaching storms to the north well before they reached the U.S., he said. Scientists had a hunch this might be the case before the season even kicked off. Early season forecast predictions in April suggested it might be a season with lower than usual activity in the Gulf and Caribbean, and it was, with the exception of Melissa at the end. Compare that to 2024, when early season predictions suggested more activity than usual in the Gulf and the Caribbean. Last year, the region was smacked with three hurricanes, Debbie, Helene, and Milton. I think it's a nod to seasonal forecasting being pretty darn accurate, Berardelli said. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think we're getting much better. Another factor that kept the U.S. coast free from hurricanes this year was a rare event in the meteorological universe, the Fujiwara effect, also called binary interaction. Hurricanes Imelda and Umberto were carving through the Atlantic at the same time when the stronger storm, Umberto, drew in the weaker storm. There was almost a U.S. hurricane landfall, Imelda. But Hurricane Umberto was in the right place at the right time to induce the Fujiwara interaction, which tugged Imelda away from the U.S. before it got too close to the coast, McNulty said. And with that, we've come to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, December 2nd. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.